for you, but rather we have clung to the trappings of this world. We have called Jesus our Lord, but we have placed all manner of people and things and fears ahead of our service to his reign of love and justice. There are so many things we have done against your kingdom, and so few things we have done for you. Forgive us, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, so fill us with your love and power that we will resist the call of earthly things and instead always look to Jesus Christ for life. In his name we pray. Amen.
Believe, confess, and be filled with God's sure and certain hope of forgiveness in Christ and Christ alone. Our forgiveness is based on the perfection of Jesus and the complete salvation that he freely offers to us. As we rely on God and by the grace of Christ, we can hear and believe this good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. God's forgiveness. Let us all turn to the people around us and make them welcome in our worship by the peace of Christ. Thank you for
thank you.
this morning is from the book of Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 9. My study Bible says that this 13th chapter of Matthew, all 53 verses of it, are the third of five major discourses that the writer of Matthew wrote. And it's the very familiar parable of the sower. I thought as I was getting ready, I think this parable's in other gospels, and I was not wrong. It's in Mark and Luke as well. In fact, the version in Mark is nearly word for word the same as Matthew's version. And since Mark is usually thought to be the earlier of the two, it's pretty clear that the writer of Matthew would thought that it was so important that they wrote it almost verbatim. Luke manages to tell the story in only four verses. Very Reader's Digest version. This is found in your Pew Bible. I'm sorry, I'm not in the Pew Bible. It's pages 846 and 847. And I'm reading from the New Revised Standard Version. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on the path. And the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen." Here ends our message.
Let us pray. Merciful God, who sent Jesus to eat and drink with sinners, lead us to your table and be present with us, weak and sinful people that we are, so that fed by your love and your word, we may live to praise you, remembering Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The parable of the seed, or the parable of the sower, is in Matthew, Mark, and Luke for a reason. It's really central to Jesus' teaching and his practice. We oftentimes ask the question, what type of soil am I? Am I the rocky soil, the soil by the path, the soil of thorns, or the good soil where God's word can grow? And that's a good thing, but the point of the parable, the main point, is that the farmer went out to sow, and farmers then didn't plant seeds in little rows. They would scatter the seed. And there's a story about Israel, that when God created the world, God gave an angel or two angels, two bags of stones to be scattered evenly over the world. And as one of the angels was going out of heaven's gate, caught on a hinge or something, and the bag tore, and so half of all the world's stones fell right onto Israel. And in some ways, there doesn't seem that they're all so wrong. But the farmers would clear the fields, but there was always rocks under the soil that you couldn't see. It was real, looked like good soil. And then the paths would be along right through the middle of the field, a narrow path. And the farmer could not sow some of the seed on the path as they scattered it. He would scatter, and some of it would fall on good soil that looked like good soil, but there were rocks underneath, and some fell where there were thorns going to grow up, and some fell on good soil. The farmer didn't try to distinguish those types of places. He just scattered the seed because he had lots of it. And that's the point of the parable and the point of Jesus' ministry, is that Jesus went out and scattered the seed of the Word of God everywhere because he knew that God would cause the growth. And some of it would be wasted, yes, but that doesn't mean you don't sow it there, because maybe it will grow. And that's what Jesus did in all of his ministry, with all of the people he met, including his disciples. Listen to this passage from the Gospel of John, John chapter 13, verses 21 to 30. You'll find it in your pew Bibles in page 938, and I'll be reading from the New International Version. Jesus had just told his disciples that he was going to be betrayed, and he says it again. After he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly, I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, was reclining next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. As soon as Jesus had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. The word of the Lord. Some time ago now, I began a series of sermons called Missing Jesus. And I talked about Thomas, how Thomas missed Jesus on that first Easter Sunday, and he didn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And so the disciples tried to convince him, but he wasn't convinced. But he wasn't driven away. And the next Sunday, Thomas was there again, and Jesus appeared. And Thomas recognized that he was their Lord and their God. He was found because Jesus sought him out, and Thomas responded. The next time I talked about Mary, and how Mary was missing Jesus, weeping outside of the tomb, and the gardener came up to her, so she thought, and called her by her name. And she turned to him and saw that it was Jesus. She believed, and she went back and told everyone that she had seen the Lord. And she believed because Jesus had come to her.
And then we talked about the two people, probably a husband and wife, who were on their way to Emmaus, and they were discouraged. And Jesus came up behind them and said, "What's going on?" And they said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who doesn't know about Jesus? We thought he was the Messiah, and he died, and we're so discouraged." And Jesus talks to them. And he goes with them. He talks in such a way that they invite him right into their home. And he speaks with them. He eats with them. He gives thanks for the breaking of the bread. And their eyes are opened, and they recognize that it was Jesus. They believed, went back and told everyone that they had seen the Lord, because Jesus had come to them. Today, I'm doing the last of the sermons in the Missing Jesus series. And it's one where Jesus came to the person, reached out to the person, but the person didn't respond. And that was Judas. Judas missed Jesus. At the Last Supper that we read the story, we can see a little bit about what was going on during that time. Jesus was with his disciples, and they were eating at the last meal. And this is one of the examples of why it's important to know the background of the culture of the day. Because in that time and in that place, the Jews ate the Passover meal at something called a triclinium. It was a table along here, and then it came to a cross piece, and then it went back this way. And the opening, this aisle, was open so someone who was serving the meal could bring the food in and set it before the different people. Now, we don't know where Bartholomew was sitting, or Matthew, or Philip, or, you know, Joes, or James, the brother of John. We don't know where they were sitting in this group, but we do know where four people were sitting. There was a strict order of precedence there, where the host of the meeting sat, where the second most honored guest sat, where the most honored guest sat, and where the least honored guest sat. And, well, where the host, where Jesus would be sitting, was the second seat in. He wasn't really sitting. He was reclining. If you remember that we read, it says Jesus, John was reclining there, leaned back on Jesus. So it wasn't a big table. They were close together. They would lean on their left side on cushions, and their feet would stretch out from the table. And they would sit there, and they would eat with their right hands. And the host would be right here. So thank you, Jesus, for joining us here today. The second most honored guest would be right here. And so thank you for honoring and visiting with us today, John. Because we know that, because it says John leaned back on Jesus' breast. Now, if he was sitting over there or back there somewhere, he could lean back all he wanted, but he wouldn't be leaning back on Jesus' breast. So that shows how close they were. You know, it wasn't that there was not the same idea of personal space then that we have now. So we know that John leaned back on Jesus' breast. But that was the second most honored guest. The place of honor, and the second honored guest would have the honor and privilege of feeding the host, of taking, "Oh, try this," and passing it on back. And so that's what you were, had the honor of doing, that of feeding your Lord. But the most honored guest would be reclining right on his breast. And to show his honored state, Jesus would feed the most honored guest. And do you know who the most honored guest at the Last Supper was? It was Judas. Jesus. John says, "Who is it, Lord?" Jesus has been talking, saying, "You know, one of you is going to betray me. Who is it, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "The one that I give this bread." And he gets it and he hands it to Judas. Thank you, Judas, for being here today. I'm glad that you're here and you'll keep on being here because you made a choice to follow Jesus rather than what the original Judas did. Jesus leans back and feeds Judas and says, "What you're going to do, do quickly. Make your decision right now." Well, that's three people we know of. Where's the fourth? Well, imagine if everybody's on their left side. The people on this side are looking this way. The people on this side are looking that way. The people in the back, well, wherever, you know. But the only way that Peter could talk to John, because it says he whispered to John and said, "Ask him who he is. Who it is?" He wasn't in the back and say, "Hey, John, ask him who he is." You know, he says, "Ask him who he is." Is if Peter was right here. And if this is the most position, this is the second most honored position, this is the most honored position, guess where Peter is? Peter, you're in the least honored position, which shows that you were listening to Jesus one time. Because remember, Jesus said when someone invites you to a banquet, what you should do is not choose an honored place, because then the host might come and say, "Hey, you've got to go somewhere else." You end up at the bottom. Go to the bottom place, and the host will come in and say, "What are you doing there? Come on, move up to a higher place." So Peter took that to heart, and he sat in the least honored place. And you know what? Jesus left him there. Lesson in humility sometimes. Just because we do what we're told to do doesn't mean that we're going to be honored for it. And that's okay. Because the goodness is in obeying our Lord. So Peter was curious. And so he whispers across to John. And John leans back on Jesus. And Jesus, in love, feeds Judas and says, "Make a decision right now." Because Judas had already decided to betray Jesus. Judas had already told the Jewish leaders who wanted him dead that he was going to deliver him into his hands. They knew where Jesus was going to be. Judas didn't have to do anything else. Jesus was on the way to the cross. And Jesus loved him enough to honor him above all the disciples, to try to touch his heart, to try to care for him in a way so that Judas would say, I am wrong. I've betrayed you. I'm the one you're talking about. It's me." And to turn away from that. Imagine that kind of love. Jesus knew he was on the way to the cross. But did Judas have to be one of the casualties? Well, the scripture says that someone would betray him. Judas had already betrayed him. But what would he do now? Jesus did everything in his power to get Judas to turn back to him. the Jews didn't. He took the bread, he got up, and he walked out, and it was night. Jesus sowed the seed everywhere because he wanted to see the growth. He wanted to see the change in people's lives. He loved so much. And he calls us to do the same. Why was he trying to redeem Judas? Because Judas was the best of the disciples. He was the most holy of them. He had followed the Lord most faithfully and had stumbled? No, he was a thief. It says he was the treasurer, so they knew he was capable, but he took that capability and used it for his own good. Snuffed the money out for himself instead of others. So many people do that. We want things for ourselves. Was that what disqualified Judas? No. Jesus kept on reaching out to him. We honor Peter and John, call them Saint Peter and Saint John. Were they perfect? No. Peter was the first in many ways, the first out of the boat, the first to sink. The first to proclaim that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, and the first to put his foot in his mouth. No. First in so many ways. Peter betrayed Jesus too. But he turned back. Judas missed Jesus. But it wasn't because Jesus didn't come hunting for him. Jesus came for him, leaned back against him, gave him the honored place, said, "This is for you. Decide now. Decide." That doesn't say your decision is already made. Whenever we've sinned, we can decide again to follow Jesus. Or we can decide to go away from Jesus. Which gives Jesus joy and what breaks his heart? So Jesus loves each and every one of us. He feeds us all at this meal. And he says, decide now. Decide for me. What does that have to do with us today? It's not just us and Jesus. We're here before the whole world. What do we do? Well, we remember that parable of the sower who scatters the seeds everywhere, not worrying about if someone would fall on a piece of ground. Oh, we know that it can't grow there. But if you've ever seen a tree growing out of a cliff, crack of a cliff, you know that it can grow anywhere. Jesus calls us to go out into the world and sow the seed of the Word of God. I made some bread, a lot of homemade bread, actually. And what I'd like to invite you to do is to take this bread home with you. But to make a choice. Both are good choices. Both can bring benefits. But it's a choice I'm calling you to make. You can take that loaf of bread and give it today, or put it back in the freezer. It's been in the freezer so it wouldn't get stale. Homemade bread, no preservatives added, which means that you have to eat it soon or toast it. But you can take that bread and eat it yourself, and I hope you'd be benefited from it. Or you can take it and look around your neighborhood and find a neighbor who doesn't go to church. Don't give it to a person who goes to church all the time. You know, something. Give it to somebody who doesn't come to church, who thinks perhaps that Christians are idiots. Find a person who thinks Christians are idiots, give a loaf of bread to them and say, our pastor made this and asked us to give this loaf of homemade bread to someone, and I thought of you. And give it to them. Just that. It's a little seed sown. You know, a little bit of kindness given. And you don't know what's going to come from it. But it's a good thing to do. So on your way out, I encourage you to take a loaf. There's 28 loaves back there, 29 here, 2 in my stomach. And choose how you're going to plant your seed. What do you think Jesus would rejoice most in you doing? He leaned back on Judas' breast and fed him out of love. He who he knew was going to betray him. That's love. And that's the love that Jesus has for all of us. Thanks be to God. The Lord's Supper reminds us that it is the supper that Jesus has prepared for us, that we are the honored guests at this table. He has done it all. He has prepared the meal through the sacrifice of his own body, through the death that he died on the cross for us. The death of Jesus is for all believers. It is sufficient, and more than sufficient, to purchase our salvation. And it's offered to us. It's offered to all, but not all accept it. But all who do find life. This meal reminds us of the resurrection and the return of Jesus. Because he meets with us today in this meal, but it's a reminder, he says, of the meal that we will celebrate together when we share it together in heaven, when we are resurrected beings before the Lord. So this is the Lord's table. Our Lord invites all those to come who trust in him for their salvation, and him alone. So I invite you to come so that all of our eyes might be opened and we might see what God has done. Our hymn right now, we're changing the location of it, is hymn number 513, Let Us Break Bread Together. Where am I?
How marvelous is your name, O Holy One! You alone are God. Therefore, along with the apostles and prophets, and with that great crowd of witnesses who live for you beyond all time and space, we lift our hearts to you in joyful praise. We praise you, most holy God, for sending your only Son, Jesus, to live among us. He made you known to all who received him. He shared our joys and our sorrows. He healed the sick and was a friend of sinners. Obeying you, he took up his cross and died so that we might live. We praise you that he overcame death and has risen to rule the world. He is still the friend of sinners. We trust him to overcome every power that can hurt or divide us, and believe that when he comes in glory, we will celebrate victory with him. We thank you that on the night before he died, Jesus took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, that this bread and this cup may be for us the body and blood of our Lord, and that we and all who share this feast may be one with Christ, and he with us, and we with each other. May we be filled with your joy, so that we may be Christ's faithful people until we feast with him in glory. We pray this in Jesus' name, who taught all of his disciples to pray, "Our Father in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Do not bring us to test, but deliver us from evil. Amen." Jesus took the bread, and he broke it. And he passed it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, for this is my body given for you." Following supper, Jesus took the cup, and he filled it and passed it to his disciples and said, "This cup is the cup of the new covenant, sealed, guaranteed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, remember me." And so on behalf of Jesus Christ, I invite you to take and to eat and to remember. I invite you to come forward now and to take a cup and a piece of bread and return to your seat, and we'll eat and drink together. If you would care for us to bring it to you. Am I forgetting something? No? Okay. I wasn't sure. Thanks if you were going to mention anything. If you would like someone to bring this to you, we will. Just wave your hand and we'll come to you instead of you having to walk up here. Because that's what the church does, is we come and support each other. Come. Thank you. Gracious God, we offer our thanks for the whole communion of saints witness to this feast.
And for the ministry of churches around the world who gather as we have today.
By this broken bread, may we each be restored for the work yet to come.
By this shared cup, may we each be claimed for the proclamation of your kingdom.
At this shared table, may we be united as children of your promise, children of your word, dying and made new again.
Send boldly together into the world as servants of your peace.
Amen.
Some of what God has done among you this past week. Yes.
Well, it was just kind of, I guess, an interesting little thing that happened. So I was at the hairdresser getting my hair done this week, and I started talking to the gal. I go to her. I've been going to her for 6 years to get my hair cut. And her name is Debbie. And we started talking a little bit about where she grew up here in Cranberry. And I said, oh, you're near our church. And she said, oh, did you go to Plains Church? Did you go to Plains Church? I said, we do. And she said, oh, there's a lady there named Janet. I used to cut her hair all the time. And I know a girl named Julie that she went to that church and lived close by. And she said, in fact, my oldest son went to nursery school at Plains Church. And it just kind of gave me goosebumps. So, I mean, she lives in Freedom now. And I said, well, maybe come sometime. There's probably a lot of people that you know that.
Neat. Planting a seed. Thanks. Yes.
So thank you for the bread and the offer to share with someone. And I'll just throw out there that, again, more details to come, but when you're sharing that with someone, invite them to our pop-up on November 5th. It's a good opportunity to bring people in.
There's 27 people here. 29 loaves of bread. So instead of one per family, you could take two. Yes?
I'm going to add too, there's probably still those little cards in the narthex for Plains Presbyterian Church with the, there's a QR code. So you could pick one of those up and you can give it to them with the loaf of bread.
Thank you. Yes, Jim.
I remember a word picture of worldwide communion. This table here stretched out both ways, and across our country, across the oceans, across continents, and it continued on around the world, covering every Christians in every continent, every from the smallest little chapel to the largest cathedral, you know, on this day at this time, according to the time zones, of course, how that table travels around the world, and we're doing this in a worldwide way, which is the way God works, because we saw that sowing of the seed around the world, you know, single out someone. But it's a great picture, and it's just that today it's been a real blessing to be part of it.
It's not just a pretty big table, it's a beautiful big table.
Yes. And I guess it varies country to country where they do it and how they serve it.
Yeah.
From the, you know, African spoon communion, you know, they have these all kind of applications to burn. Even the bread and the wine varies, but you know, the Spirit of God and the meaning is
beautiful. Yeah, the reality behind the symbols is true, whatever the symbols are. Thank you. There are a number of prayer requests. There was one in the offering plate. Where did the offering plate disappear to? Do you have it? And did you see that there's a card in there somewhere? I don't know what it is. So there it is. I'll come back and get it. But this one says that we're asked to pray for Charlotte Glaspie, who had surgery this past week. She's back home and doing better, but when you have surgery, you're doing better, but that doesn't mean you're doing well for a while. So please keep Charlotte in your prayers. And Rich's brother Larry will be transported to the Paramount Senior Living Center on Tuesday, and I was told that will be a much better place than where he is right now, so that's good news. Frank Aloy is struggling with COVID right now. His cough is better, but he's still feeling, I guess, still have headaches and feeling pretty miserable. So keep him and Tiffany in your prayers. Yes?
I'm always bailing a dollar short. And I'm going back to where we see God in our lives. And I'm thinking, it's been a while. Maybe the ball's in my court now. Sometimes we don't see God in our lives. We think we're having a dry period. And maybe that means the ball's in our court. So I just, you understand what I mean?
So it might seem that you're not seeing God in your evidences of God, but maybe it's time to go out and provide some evidences of God for other people. And as you do things for God, to see God at work in you. You know, on a dry time, do something about it.
The ball's in my court now.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, Bert. Yes.
I have a prayer request. I'm having a biopsy in my right lung on October 12th. And in 2018, the lobe of my left lung removed because of cancer, and how they had found it was I fell and broke a rib, and that's how they found that cancer. So they've been watching ever since 2018. There's nodules in my upper right lung that have increased in size, so it's time for a biopsy.
Okay.
And that'll be October 12th.
Bonnie.
Betty.
Betty.
You were close. You were this close.
So Sorry, Betty. Okay, well, let's come to the Lord's in prayer. Yes, Steve.
I'd like us to remember Jennifer Murata and her family. For those of you who didn't hear, Jen's father passed this week. And although we're aware that they often had a difficult relationship, Jen did mention on Facebook that she was so pleased that they'd had a chance to reconcile.
Oh, that's good.
So, but we want to make sure we're keeping Jen and the whole family in our prayers.
Yes. And you know of all the other things we have to pray for as well. Let's come to the Lord. Almighty and ever-living God, in your word you have taught us to pray not only for ourselves, but also for others, and to give thanks for all of life. Give to your whole church power, unity, and peace. Grant that all who trust you may live together in love. Lead all nations in the way of justice and goodwill. We thank you for your gospel of peace that you remind us of on this World Communion Sunday. Help us to work for peace even as you work within us. Confirm in our hearts that the peace that we have with you, purchased with such great cost, can touch our lives and the lives of others. Help us to know that since you love us, we can love ourselves. And give us new strength to follow you in the upward call of Christ Jesus. Help us to strive for peace in our families, in our church, our community, our world. Give grace to all of us as we proclaim your gospel to our neighbors and co-workers. May the fruit of the Spirit be produced in us with great abundance, all for your glory. Comfort and relieve, O Lord, all who are in trouble, near and far. We especially remember those terribly burdened by Hurricane Ian and the devastation of the war in Ukraine. We pray for those who are burdened by sorrows. We remember Jennifer Miranda as she grieves her father. We give you thanks that she was able to be reconciled. We pray for those who are burdened by poverty, by sickness. We pray for Charlotte Glaspy and for Betty as she's having her biopsy. And we pray that for Larry as he's transported to a new place to live. We pray for those with any other need, especially those known to us, whom we name before you in silence. Heal them in body, mind, and circumstance, working in them by your grace wonders beyond all that they may dream or hope, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Our final hymn is hymn number 467. It's in the blue hymn book, How Great Thou Art.
I see.
Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, and help the suffering. Honor everyone. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. For God goes with you. Amen.